This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries that are touching our lives and changing our worldview. And with us today is Dr. Seth Shostak, the Dean of the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. That's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. That's right. Today we're going to talk about the science of aliens in outer space. We're not talking about the new Star Wars movie. We're talking about how PhD physicists view the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. We should point out that he got his bachelor's degree from Princeton, PhD from Caltech, and is the author of a book, Confessions of an Alien Hunter. Before we continue with our interview with Dr. Shostak, let me make a short announcement, and that is my website is mkaku.org, mkaku.org. You can also find me on Facebook, Michio Kaku on Facebook. In fact, we just broke 3 million fans, 3 million fans on Facebook. And I have a new book coming out. That's right, in February, I'll be on a book tour. The book is called The Future of Humanity. And instead of going 10, 20 years into the future, we go hundreds, thousands of years into a possible future when we begin the process of colonizing Mars, going on to the solar system, and then perhaps even to the nearby stars. And so the book is called The Future of Humanity, coming out in the end of February. Watch for it. You can order copies on, for example, Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So, Seth, once again, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Always a pleasure, Michio.
Okay, well, let's just jump right into some of the stories. One of the big stories, of course, dominating the headlines is the fact that the U.S. Pentagon had a secret study to analyze UFOs from outer space. Now, we're not talking about mom and pop looking in the sky and seeing some kind of thing hovering overhead. We're talking about jet fighter pilots. We're talking about military people that have recorded strange anomalies that make your skin crawl. Well, first of all, Seth, what's your take about this UFO story?
Well, I think it's an extraordinarily interesting story, and I think the public also agrees. When you sort of cruise the internet, you'll find this story is everywhere, and that simply testifies to the fact that the public is not only interested in the possibility that the aliens might be visiting, but in the case of one-third of them, they think there's truth to it. They think the aliens are visiting, and of course, if you ask them, well, why is it that so few scientists are convinced, they'll say it's because the government is keeping the good evidence secret. And this story kind of gives a little bit of indication to that point of view, because it says that, well, gosh darn, you know, the government really has been covering something up.
Okay, well, as you know, roughly 95% or so of UFO stories can be dismissed as natural phenomenon. The planet Venus, radar echoes, atmospheric anomalies, all these things can set off UFO alarms. However, the last 5% make your skin crawl. We're talking about jet fighter pilots tracking by radar and by visual sighting something that is flying nearby and outracing them, seemingly defying the known laws of terrestrial physics. So what are your take about the remaining 5% that physicists have looked at and have simply scratched their heads?
Well, Well, listen, I don't know how many of them have actually been looked at by physicists. There are reports. It's true. And it's not just military pilots. Commercial pilots see things. I've talked to some of the Apollo astronauts. At least two of them were convinced that, you know, some extraterrestrials were sailing their saucers through our skies. But the fact that, you know, 5%, 10% of the reported UFO sightings can't be explained, or at least haven't been explained. I mean, I don't find that a particularly strong argument. Not on that basis would I say, well, that proves it. The aliens are here. I mean, you know, the homicides in New York, maybe 65% of them are solved by the New York Police Department, but 35% of them are not. And you could say, well, those are pretty puzzling. Maybe those people were murdered by aliens. Well, maybe they were. But on the other hand, that seems like a kind of unlikely explanation. So the fact that a small percentage of the sightings cannot be explained just means that you don't have very good evidence. At least that's what it means to me. I don't find it as, you know, it's kind of a negative argument that the unexplained ones are, in fact, alien craft.
Okay, well, when some military men see something whizzing across the radar screen, maybe it's a radar echo. Or maybe it's the planet Venus, which seems to follow you when you are driving a car, for example, and Venus is behind your shoulder. However, to explain these things that are flying alongside our jet pilots, do you think that maybe they're drones being tested by the military?
I mean, that's been offered as an explanation for some of these more interesting sightings, that after all, there are things up in the sky that are not generally known about, because the military doesn't tell us everything about what they're flying around, and drones have become more and more popular, so it certainly could be drones. But, you know, when people say, look, this object was flying faster than any aircraft we have, well, you know that in order to know what speed it's flying at, you have to know its motion across the sky, its angular speed, but you also need to know its distance. And it's very hard to know the distance to some object if you have no idea what its size is. I mean, it could be an alien craft at a mile distance, or it could be a bug, you know, 3 feet in front of your face. And you need to know how big it is in order to know the speed. So these descriptions, I think, say more about our brains than they do about the objects in the sky.
And it was funded to the tune of $22 million a year. Do you think that was a waste of taxpayers' money, or do you think that the government should be using our federal funds to analyze these potential anomalies? Because who knows what's out there? What are your thoughts?
Well, I actually have no problem with the $22 million. I have to say that's far more than is being spent to, you know, to try and find evidence of extraterrestrials via big radio telescopes, the kind of work that we do here. I mean, our budgets are 100 times smaller. And, you know, one can look at this only sort of, big question marks appear above my head when I think about it. But on the other hand, really, I don't have any problem with that, because there may be something that is found. It's always possible. One shouldn't say, you know, a priori, it's impossible for the aliens to have come here. Well, it doesn't violate physics for them to come here. It's hard. But, hey, you know, let's look into it. It also, by the way, sort of, I think, tamps down this constant drumbeat of complaint that the government really knows that we're being visited and won't tell us. I mean, that's worth looking at. But I think that from the government's point of view, there's an ancillary benefit, and that is that, you know, they're worried that maybe some of these things are Russian craft or Chinese craft. I mean, that's always been a motivation for the government to study these objects. Now, you notice that the program was canceled in 2012, at least that's what was claimed, and that suggests that the evidence, you know, wasn't worth the money anymore, that there wasn't anything interesting coming out of the program.
Okay, and when people come to me and they say that they've been abducted by flying saucers from outer space, I tell them, for God's sake, the next time you're abducted, steal something. I don't care what it is, a paperclip, a weight, any alien technology, steal it, because otherwise you have nothing. Well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Dr. Seth Shostak, Senior Astronomy with the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. And he's the author of the book, Confessions of an Alien Hunter. So stay tuned as we explore the possibilities of aliens in outer space from a scientific
This is Michio Kaku. A few years ago, I asked business owners and listeners to help keep free speech alive across America on great stations just like this one. I called out and you responded. Businesses across the country became advertisers on many of the programs you listen to every day. To those business owners, I say thank you. And to the listeners who bought products and services from these sponsors, I thank you as well for your support of these courageous businesses. As a listener, you need to continue to buy from the businesses who advertise on this radio station. And if you're a business owner, get involved. Become an advertiser and reach the customers you need to reach. To find out more about how you can advertise on my shows or others on this station, get involved now by calling 877-474-6605. That's 877-474-6605. 877-474-6605.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking about aliens from outer space, from the point of view of PhD physicists. So we're not talking about mom and pop looking up in the sky and saying, oh my God, look, there's a hovering craft right over the farm. No, we're talking about what is measurable, testable, and falsifiable, because that's what science is all about. And with, once again, our special guest today is the senior astronomer of the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. And the SETI Institute is one of the premier organizations of scientists looking for the possibility of one day listening in on intelligent conversations in outer space. So Seth, let me ask you a personal question, and that is, how did you as a young kid get interested in the idea of searching for aliens in outer space?
What inspired me is probably not at all unusual. As a kid, and I can remember this happening all the time, beginning at about age eight or nine. I would go to the movies every weekend, and there were a lot of sci-fi films, and aliens played a big role. They're, you know, really great heavies for the movies, because after all, they can be as ugly as you want, and they can have whatever abilities you want, and they're pretty disgusting usually in the movies. So that was an idea that sort of got into my mind that maybe there's somebody out there. And then I got interested in astronomy, you know, I think that's also common. I used to go to the Hayden Planetarium in New York and stuff like that. And by age 10, I built a telescope and so forth. But I didn't actually turn any of this into, if you will, a more professional effort until after graduate school. I did work in radio astronomy in graduate school, and at one point it occurred to me that techniques used for that kind of research were exactly the kind of techniques that might turn up some alien transmissions.
Okay, now let's talk about science. Frank Drake, an astronomer in the 1950s, I think it was, came up with a ballpark equation by which you could mathematically estimate how many alien civilizations are out there. And people today talk about Drake's equation. So can you give us a quick summary of Drake's equation?
Yeah, sure. You're right. You know, Frank Drake actually did the first modern SETI experiment using an antenna in West Virginia in 1960. And in 1961, he held a small conference with a dozen people, the first ever SETI conference, also in West Virginia, by the way. And as an agenda for that conference, he wrote down this equation. So that was 1961. It's called the Drake equation, and it is said to be the second most well-known equation in science after E equals MC squared. But all it is was, as I say, an agenda for a meeting, but the idea is that it is designed to compute N is the number of transmitting societies in the Milky Way galaxy. And obviously that depends on how many stars out there have planets and how what fraction of those planets are, you know, salubrious, the kind that could support life. What fraction of those actually develop life? What fraction of the ones that develop life ever develop technology? How long do they stay on the air? It turns out there are seven terms in this very simple equation, but you will find it in every astronomy textbook because it has become very famous, and it's a great way to actually sort of formulate the problem of looking for life in space.
Now, let's take a look at Drake's equation. You start with the number of stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and then you start to whittle them down to the number of stars that look like our sun, that have planets going around them, that may have Earth-like planets going around them with liquid oceans. And when you do this equation, and you start with a ballpark figure of how many stars there are in the galaxy, whittle it down to what is reasonable to expect in terms of having liquid oceans and intelligent life, what number do you come up with? What are some of the numbers you get when you crunch the numbers trying to calculate how many stars and planets are there in the Milky Way that resemble ours?
Actually, it's a little hard to crunch all the numbers down because there are some terms in the equation that are totally unknown, like what fraction of planets that, you know, have life, I mean, they've got some sort of biology, what fraction of those ever produce intelligent life, life that's clever enough to build a radio transmitter? I mean, we have no idea what that number might be, what that fraction might be, and we didn't have any idea in 1961 either when Frank came up with this equation. But what we do know is the following, and this is fairly recent, I mean, the past 5 or 10 years, that roughly, 1 in 5 stars has a planet that might be similar enough to Earth to, you know, spawn some life. In other words, with liquid oceans and feed, I mean, liquid water, something like that, an atmosphere, these sorts of things. So 1 in 5, well, given the number of stars in the Milky Way, that tells you right away that they're on the order of 100 billion cousins of Earth out there, not even counting the moons, because, you know, moons could be inhabited too, at least the good ones. So it's a big number. That's 100 billion in our galaxy. And we can see 2 trillion other galaxies. So unless some sort of miracle has happened here on Earth, there are people who think that, but I'm not one of them, then there's got to be a lot of cosmic company out there.
So what you're saying is that when you look at the night sky tonight, somebody could be looking back at you because 1 in 5 stars have planets, Earth-like planets perhaps, that maybe could be one day found to be doppelgangers of the planet Earth. So you're saying that Earth-like planets could be the norm when we look outside. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not entirely. I mean, its planets are the norm. That's the more solid result. At least, I don't know, 70-80% of all stars have planets. Well, 70 or 80%, that's as good as all, right? I mean, it's hardly any different. So, you know, you look out at the night sky, you see stars. Now, unfortunately, the kind of stars you actually see with your eyes are the big, very luminous stars, and they live such a short time, they probably don't have any life around them. But all the other stars you don't see, which, are, of course, are by far the majority of the stars, most of them have planets. If you make the assumption they all have planets, you're not terribly far wrong. But if you have planets, you usually don't get just one planet. I mean, we're finding that out now more and more. You get, you know, a handful of planets, maybe two handfuls of planets. Our own solar system has eight. Maybe someday it'll have nine again. Whatever. Okay, so there are just lots of planets. There are a trillion planets out there in the galaxy. But not all of those planets are good. I mean, you know, a lot of them are going to be like Jupiter or Mercury or something. I mean, they're not terribly hospitable. That's why I say that maybe one in five of those systems there has a planet that might support life. So that's still an enormous number.
Now, whenever I watch Star Trek and the Enterprise circles around an Earth-like planet, Spock says that they found a Class M planet like the Earth. Well, sorry, there's no such thing as a Class M planet. However, perhaps in the future when we do have starships like that, Earth-like planets could be rather plentiful, right? I mean, just a few weeks ago, a new solar system was discovered with, what, eight planets going around it? It seems that every week a new discovery is being made, finding more complicated solar systems, many of which contain Earth-like planets, right?
Well, that seems to be the trend, for sure. Problem has been, planets around other stars weren't actually found until the 1990s, the mid-1990s. And I can remember as a kid, you know, again, going to 84th Street and to the Hayden Planetarium in New York, and they would tell you, well, we don't know. Planets might be very rare. I mean, yes, obviously the sun has planets. There were nine back then. But that might not be the general way of things. Well, that was wrong. That's something we found beginning in the 1990s, that planets are really as common as cheap motels. So that's a good start, but the point is that the equipment that is available now to find planets around other stars, and maybe even to study them a little bit, that keeps getting better and better, because this is a very hot research topic. And, you know, we found thousands of planets. We don't see them yet. But as soon as we can actually see them, not just feel their effects, then you might be able to find out, well, does that planet have some oxygen in its atmosphere? Because if it does, you might say, well, that's kind of suggestive.
Okay, well, so far the Kepler satellite has identified 4,000 planets, many of them Jupiter-sized, orbiting around other star systems. Has the SETI Institute, therefore, aimed its radio telescopes at some of these solar systems? Now that we know that they have planets going around, have they analyzed in detail the possibility of radio emissions coming from them?
Well, we used to do that as a, you know, matter of course. Whenever we learned that a new solar system had been found, even if it was a solar system consisting of one planet, I mean, there could be other planets that simply hadn't been discovered yet or around that same star. So we would aim, indeed, our antennas in the direction of those stars known to have planets. But these days, we don't do that anymore. It's not that we don't think that, well, life is probably going to be on planets. It's just that since such a high percentage of stars have planets, you know, it's a better strategy from our point of view to just look at as many nearby stars as we can on the assumption that most of them have
planets. Okay, Seth, we have to take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer of the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. After the break, we're going to continue discussion of the science of looking for alien civilizations in outer space.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
ID Stronghold wallets are different. They may look the same on the outside. They're stylish. They'll hold your cards and cash. But they're hiding something great on the inside. No, there are no pyrotechnics. And it doesn't sing when you open it. But it does have magical powers. ID Stronghold wallets protect your critical information and identity from thieves standing right next to you. Protect your family this holiday season with affordable leather ID Stronghold wallets and purses. Anyone can buy a cheap RFID scanner online and snag your information just by walking past you. Contactless credit cards, debit cards, even your work ID badge. ID Stronghold was the first to pioneer RFID blocking technology over 12 years ago. Secure your identity and save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time at IDStronghold.com. That's coupon code PRESENT, also available at Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, or QVC. IDStronghold.com.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking about aliens from outer space. Not the kind of aliens you see in the latest Star Trek movie. No, we're talking about how scientists, how physicists, armed with radio telescopes and the latest in terms of satellite technology, how they are scanning the universe for signs of intelligent civilizations in outer space. With us today is is the dean of this process, Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer of the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. SETI meaning the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. So, Seth, I understand that your organization, of course, depends largely on private funds. But because of generous contributions from wealthy billionaires in Silicon Valley, your facility in Hat Creek outside San Francisco is teeming with activity. Could you explain to us what's happening with your latest generation of radio telescopes?
Yeah, Michio, I only wish that that were true. It is true that a Russian billionaire who indeed lives, you know, here in the Silicon Valley, Yuri Milner, has given money to do SETI, but not to the SETI Institute and not to the Allen Telescope Array in Hat Creek, California. He has given that money to the University of California, Berkeley, and they have a SETI program. With that money, it sort of amounts to $10 million a year for a decade. That is the promise. They have been renting time on big antennas around the world. They don't have their own facility, but they rent time on these large antennas, and they've been doing some work. So now we have competitors, if you will, across the bay. They're rather better funded than we are because we depend on, as you say, donations. And, you know, when somebody sends a $20 bill or $50 bill here, that's what keeps the SETI project going. There's no government money for this. This is a misconception that a lot of people do have. It is not of a massive program. It isn't funded by anyone's tax dollars in this country. So the total effort in SETI is actually quite small. I mean, my local fast food hamburger place has more employees than any SETI operation that I know of.
And I understand that at Berkeley, there's something called SETI at Home, where you can use a screensaver on your PC at night to crunch some of the numbers coming from the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico. And maybe you, Joe Blow, someplace in the hinterlands, will pick up signals from intelligent life in the universe. So tell us a little bit about things like SETI at Home.
Yes, indeed. That's a very successful project, and it is, as you say, run by the University of California, Berkeley. It's about 10 years old now, maybe more. It was an idea that was, in fact, devised by some folks up in the Seattle area, and they thought, you know, hey, the kind of number crunching that's done for SETI is perfect for home computers. So, you know, people have their home computers on and all they're doing is looking at the flying toasters or maybe they're scrolling through their Facebook feed or who knows what. But, you know, their computer has plenty of leftover power. Maybe they could be enlisted to help produce some of that SETI data. And so they wrote some software to do that. It became SETI at Home. That's, by the way, said to be the largest computer or, you know, the biggest computer, whatever, in the world, if you just reckon how much computation is being done. You know, I don't know how many people have downloaded the screensaver. It's on the order of 10 million. I don't know how many of them are running SETI at Home, but they've got it. It's free, and people can still do that, and it does help the Berkeley group reduce some of their data. It's a wonderful program, and there are derivatives of that sort of distributed computing model that are used for working out how
okay,
to
fold Seth,
protein.
We have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue our discussion of aliens from outer space. We'll talk about ancient aliens from outer space, and then we'll talk about the future. Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today, Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer of the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. So stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Michio Kaku. A few years ago, I asked business owners and listeners to help keep free speech alive across America on great stations just like this one. I called out, and you responded. Businesses across the country became advertisers on many of the programs you listen to every day. To those business owners, I say thank you. And to the listeners who bought products and services from these sponsors, I thank you as well for your support of these courageous businesses. As a listener, you need to continue to buy from the businesses who advertise on this radio station. And if you're a business owner, get involved. Become an advertiser and reach the customers you need to reach. To find out more about how you can advertise on my shows or others on this station, get involved now by calling 877-474-6605. That's 877-474-6605. 877-474-6605.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science. And with us today is the Dean of Looking for Alien Civilizations in Outer Space. With us today is Dr. Seth Shostak, who is a senior astronomer of the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. That's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Well, Seth, I was turning on the TV once traveling in Europe, and on the TV screen there was the History Channel, and there was a program called Ancient Aliens. Now, I turned on the TV set, and there you were, talking about aliens from outer space. But, of course, they cut into your interview footages of, well, hieroglyphic-like imagery that look like somebody with a spacesuit. Or maybe it was just a ceremonial costume of some Aztec king thousands of years ago. So what are your thoughts about whether or not aliens might have already visited us in the past? Can you rule it out, or it's just one of those things where you simply shrug your shoulders?
Well, I do shrug my shoulders a bit. The ancient aliens, you know, I think it's been on the air for at least 9 years, and it may be 10 years. You know, it's renewed every season. It's very, very popular, and people do talk to me about it. And I have been in, indeed, several of those seasons, many of those seasons. It's kind of a fun show. But the premise here is that, for example, the aliens have been around in historic times. It says ancient aliens, but, of course, you know, 2,000, 5,000 years ago, that isn't very ancient as far as the Earth is concerned, or not even very ancient as far as Homo sapiens is concerned, but nonetheless. So, you know, it addresses questions like the most obvious one, well, who built the Egyptian pyramids? You know, could the Egyptians have done that, or did they have alien help? And as I say, the premise here is that they had alien help. I've been to the pyramids a couple of times. I think that the Egyptians built them, actually, and you can actually see some of the earthen works where they ran out of money for certain projects and couldn't finish them. I don't think that actually the Egyptians needed alien help to build that stuff. And I know that this is always a puzzle to me, that while many people accept the fact that the, you know, even the pyramids of Central America, which after all, you know, the Mayan and pyramids, they weren't built very long ago, maybe hundreds of years ago, but not thousands. They were built hundreds of years ago, but those people must have had alien help. Whereas if you look at the Colosseum in Rome, which was built 2,000 years ago, nobody questions that. Oh, yeah, well, that was built by the Romans. So it seems that there are certain cultures that are incapable of civil engineering.
Okay, well, in the movie 2001, it has a totally different take on the question that maybe they're on the moon. Maybe they did visit us, but the moon is quite stable. There's no erosion there to speak of. And maybe they set up a listening post on the moon just to observe the evolution of life on the Earth, a very good vantage point. And lo and behold, here's the Homo sapien rising, and they give us a little boost every once in a while. So what are your thoughts about things like the movie 2001, which puts alien life not on the Earth, but in outer space, simply to observe? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, that's a little bit of a self-centered point of view, isn't it? I mean, gosh, the aliens, you know, their number one priority is to observe us. I kind of wonder whether the dinosaurs thought the same way, right? Or maybe the trilobites. Well, we're the number one life form here on planet Earth. Maybe the aliens are visiting Earth to watch the trilobites. I don't know. I mean, but that's a sort of a sociological question. The idea that there might be artifacts on the moon left by somebody who was there, you know, 2 billion years ago or 2 million years ago, I mean, that's not nutty. I mean, it's, you know, it's an interesting idea, but there's no data to support it at the moment. On the other hand, we have not dug up every acre of the moon by a long shot. I mean, there's a lot of the moon that we haven't looked at carefully, and so if there's a monolith on the moon that's buried a couple of hundred feet in the dirt there, we would not know about it yet, but we do have pretty high-resolution photos of the moon these days, and we haven't seen anything on the moon that didn't look like the moon.
And speaking about the movies, the movie Contact was based on a best-selling novel by Carl Sagan. Have you seen that movie? Many people think that it is perhaps the most scientifically realistic encounter with an intelligent civilization in outer space. But, well, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I have seen it. I've seen it many times. In fact, I was a consultant for the film, as were others here at the SETI Institute. You know, the first time I saw it, I thought, well, you know, it gets a little soft in the middle.
Oh, Seth, we have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we'll talk about some of the movies that are out there. Do they get it right? How does a scientist view the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations? Once again, our special guest is Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer with the SETI Institute. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. So stay tuned as we continue discussion of extraterrestrial civilizations.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view.
bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking about how a physicist views alien civilizations in outer space. With us today is Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer of the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California, author of the book Confessions of an Alien Hunter. He got his bachelor's in physics from Princeton. In fact, we actually may have overlapped. I was at Princeton at roughly the same time. He got his PhD from Caltech, and now he's with the SETI Institute. So let me ask you a question that I'm sure you've been given many, many times, and that's the Fermi paradox. That is, if the galaxy is teeming with Earth-like planets, then, well, where are they? How come they don't land on the White House lawn and advertise their existence and usher in an age of Aquarius? What's keeping them?
I'm all for that. That sounds good to me. I don't know why the aliens would bother, but they might do it. Of course, if they actually land on the White House lawn, they're going to get arrested right away. But the Fermi paradox, indeed, is simply it's a kind of a simple argument that, you know what, the universe is very old. So there's been plenty of time for anybody, you know, to colonize essentially all of it. I mean, our galaxy would take 30 or 40 or 50 million years to colonize. If somebody was interested in doing that. And, you know, I mean, you have to make some assumptions about how fast their rockets are and so forth and so on. But if there was true, if only one society in the whole history of our galaxy decided they were going to make the galaxy theirs, they've had plenty of time to do it. So why don't we see aliens everywhere? Why don't we see, you know, the essential, I mean, it's like waking up in Europe in the year zero and looking around and seeing Romans everywhere. I mean, that's kind of the idea. Well, we don't see them. That could mean that nobody's out there. But I think that's a pretty big conclusion from a fairly local observation. The local observation being we look around the Earth and we don't see too much. We train our telescopes on the skies and everything we see seems to be nature, not aliens. So, you know, what does it all mean? And nobody knows what it all means. It could be that we're looking in the wrong places. It could be that the kind of technology that really advanced societies have isn't the kind of thing you see through a telescope. It's too small or it's too dark or something. Or it could be that actually colonizing the galaxy is not something that an advanced society is interested in doing. I don't know, but it is an interesting question.
Now, my own point of view is that if you're walking through a forest and see a deer or a squirrel, do you go down and talk to them? Maybe initially, but after a while you get bored because they don't talk back to you. And so in the same way, I think that if any civilization can go thousands of light years to reach us, they are thousands of years ahead of us in technology, and we have nothing to offer them. But what about the other scenario, that maybe they want to take over? You saw the movie Independence Day, the novel War of the Worlds. What happens if they have malicious intent? Stephen Hawking, the cosmologist, has warned us. Look what happened when Cortez met Montezuma and the Aztecs. It did not go very well for the Aztecs. So do you fear that, or you think it's just a hypothetical scenario?
Well, I think that what Professor Hawking was trying to get at was that, you know, there are people who like to like the idea of broadcasting into space. Obviously, SETI is passive. What we do here is we listen, and there's no danger in that. Nobody knows that you're listening, okay? But there are others who want to transmit. In fact, one of my colleagues here at the Institute has been very interested in that, and he has an organization to broadcast, and they, in fact, did a broadcast using a transmitter and an antenna near Tromsø, Norway, recently, and that generated a certain amount of buzz, if you will, because indeed, maybe it's a bad idea to let any putative aliens know that, hey, we're here, right? Because maybe they're friendly and maybe they're not. Well, I don't worry about it because, you know, there's really no stopping letting the universe know that we're here. We have radars, and we have television and FM radio. All of these are high-frequency signals that go right through the ionosphere out into space, and most of them are fairly weak. But if you're talking about a society that has the kind of rocket technology that would allow them to come here and wipe us out or whatever they intend to do, I mean, that, as you point out, that's a very advanced society, and they undoubtedly have big antennas that can pick up all this leakage we're sending into space. So I don't worry about this. I really don't. I think I'm worried more about, you know, my next dental appointment than I am about this.
Okay, and let's take a quick trip to the movies, of course. Aliens are a very popular storyline. There was one movie that came out where linguists who are expert in Earth-like languages were called in because the aliens, of course, didn't speak English, and we had to decode what the aliens are saying and vice versa. But it seems to me that if the aliens are that advanced, why don't they simply use a Google Talk, a software program, to decode the English language? But what are your thoughts about miscommunication between us and the aliens?
Well, on the one hand, you could say it's inevitable because, unlike in the movies, they won't speak colloquial American English or any other language we know. That's for sure. And you could say, well, okay, but, you know, you could still communicate. I mean, think about when Columbus lands on Watling Island in the Caribbean in 1492. I mean, the locals didn't speak Spanish, and he didn't speak Arawak or whatever the local language was. But they could communicate a little bit. I mean, you know, they would wave their hands, draw pictures in the sand. I think that you could figure out some means of communication. There are people who, in fact, devise languages to do this. There's a mathematician in the Netherlands who's done this. Well, I don't know. Using math is pretty hard, a pretty hard way to communicate, I think. But, you know, but I think pictures are a good way because you could make a picture dictionary. Right. And then they could begin to figure stuff out because you can, you know, you can show a star and then you have the word star next to it. So they know that that's, you know, those four symbols there, S-T-A-R.
Okay, Seth, we have to close this segment of Science Fantastic. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Okaku. Our special guest was Dr. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at the SETI Institute. Also, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. My latest book is coming out in February. I'll be on a book tour. It's called The Future of Humanity, where we do talk about one day going to Mars, one day perhaps terraforming it, perhaps one day, centuries from now, reaching for the stars. Once again, the book is called The Future of Humanity, available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com, and I'll be on a book tour in late February. So once again, join us every week for Science Fantastic.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.